I'd like to read firstly in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66, page 905. Page 905, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says Jehovah, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that ye will build unto me? And what is the place of my rest? Even all these things hath my hand made, and all these things have been, says Jehovah. But to this man will I look, to the afflicted and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my words. To the afflicted and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my word. And then one other passage in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse, that's page 1327. Acts chapter 16, verse 23. Page 1327. Verse 23. And having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, and secured their feet to the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison shook, and all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds of all loosed. And the jailer, being awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prison opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, but thinking the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And having asked for lights, he rushed in, and trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and leading them out, said, Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spoke to him the word of the Lord with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed them from their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. You might notice that in both passages there was the word trembling. That means to be very afraid, to be very affected by something. It's not just a light thing, it's trembling is really perhaps your knees are knocking together, or you're very affected by what has happened. You're affected by the power of something. You've been greatly moved and affected by what has happened or what you've read. So in Isaiah 66, the first passage we read, it's the last chapter of this tremendous prophecy, Isaiah. And God says, the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. A footstool is something you put your feet on. And yet, God is so great that the heavens are like his throne and the earth is under his feet in that sense. He's so great and so mighty and so powerful. That is the majesty of the God that we have to deal with tonight. The greatness of who he is. It says he holds the waters in the palm of his hand in one of the other passages, Isaiah 40. The nations are as a drop of the bucket. That's the greatness and majesty of the God that is the true God of the Bible, the God who speaks to us tonight. What a wonderful thing that is, that God is so great that he's willing to speak to us tonight in love. He speaks to us. He speaks to everyone who has an ear to hear. His word goes out across the earth. His word was going out by leaflets. His word goes out by people speaking a personal witness. His word goes out through his word, the Bible. It goes out in so many different ways. But his word goes out tonight so that you might come into a living, real relationship with him. But he says, all these things have my hand made. He has made everything. God is the creator God. He's the He has infinite majesty. He has the greatness of the power of creation under his hand. He created the worlds by a command. He spoke at the beginning and said, "Let there be light." He created the worlds. And yet, I wanted to highlight tonight the type of person that he is pleased with. God is pleased with a particular type of person, according to this passage. And this is so, so important. This is the most important thing I wanted to bring out tonight. Who is the person, what is the person like that God will listen to? The type of person who is God will bless. The type of person, the way that we have to be in order to come to God. It says, "To this man will I look," at the end of verse 2, of this person, "to the afflicted and contrite in spirit." What does that mean? That means that we have to recognise that we're sinners. We have to recognise that we're weak. We have no strength of our own. We have no righteousness of our own. We have to feel weak and afflicted. We have to feel that we need him. Many people today say they don't need God. There just doesn't seem to be any room in their life for God. Their life is so full of chasing after material things, chasing after everything that this world offers. Their job, their career, money, entertainment, everything else that fills up people's lives. They don't have any room for God in their lives. It's a very sad thing, isn't it, when people are like that? We sometimes meet people, we met a few people yesterday who were like that. One day, God will say to them that he has no room for them. And that will be eternal separation from him in hell. How awful that is, to be in that position before God. Living your whole life without any room for him, without any time for him, and spending all of eternity separated from him in hell. How awful. How awful the prospect that is of being separated because of our sins, because of the wicked things that we've done. But the person that God does accept, the person that God loves to bless, is the one who recognises their need, who recognises their need for forgiveness, who comes humbly before him. The afflicted and contrite in spirit. That means someone who repents towards him. Someone who puts their faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary's cross. We're going to see that in the next passage that we read, the second passage. Those that are humble. It says elsewhere that God sets himself against the proud. God hates pride. Pride is the sin that affected the devil right at the beginning. And he hates people who... He hates pride in itself. He loves all people, but he hates pride and arrogance. But he loves humility. He loves us when we come before him and we recognise that we need him and ask for forgiveness and put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done. That's the type of person that gets a blessing from God. God has so much to bless us with. In one of the passages that we read during the week, a while ago, he owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. God owns the whole world. He owns everything in the world. People like to think that they own things, don't they? And yet our life soon comes to an end, and whatever we've owned, we leave to someone else. We can't take it with us. People live their lives, don't they, as though the possessions that they have are all that they will ever have. And they think they somehow fool themselves that what they own they can take with them. But nobody takes anything with them. Not of this world, not material things. But God is pleased with the person who comes before him in humility, repentance, and recognises their need of him. And also who trembles at his word. I highlighted the word trembling. In a sense, we are to be have fear of God. Fear of God because of his righteousness. Fear of God because he is absolutely perfect and holy. But trembling at his word means taking his word seriously. Real true Christians take God's word very seriously because it has tremendous power. We see the word. We can see the word of the scriptures. The word of God is like a sharper than any two-edged sword. It has tremendous power, God's word. That's why when we read it during the week, we read about future events, didn't we? About the events in prophecy. Things that are going to happen to the earth. The terrible things are going to happen after the Christians have left the earth. The words had tremendous power. But the person who gets blessing is the one who trembles at his words, who realizes the majesty and power of his words, and realizes the greatness of the God's word, the Bible, and reads it and understands it. That's the sort of person who comes into blessing, who gets the blessing from God. So in Acts chapter 16, in case you don't know the background, Paul and Silas were two followers of Jesus. They had been going around preaching about Jesus and telling the people about the wonderful saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been going around telling the people that Jesus was the Son of God, the majesty and greatness of the gospel. They'd been preaching the gospel. And a lot of people, some people were very upset about that because they were losing money. They weren't able to sell their fake goods anymore. And so they were taken and beaten and thrown into prison. They were put into prison in the middle of the... They were whipped, first of all, because it says in end of verse 22, they were commanded to scourge them. And verse 23, they laid many stripes upon them. That means that Paul and Silas were whipped severely on their bare backs for preaching the gospel. Many people today suffer for being a Christian. They go to prison for being a Christian. They spend many years, perhaps never ever come out of prison alive. Some believers in many countries of the world suffer greatly for being faithful to the Lord Jesus. We have to pray for them. But this is what Paul and Silas had to suffer. And the jailer who was in charge of the jail was told, you must make sure they do not escape, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So he puts them into the inner prison. That was where the maximum security. That was where the worst prisoners went, who absolutely must not be let out. How do they respond? What do they do? They're marked by praise and worship in verse 25. That shows the power of praise and worship. They are praising God with singing in the middle of the night. There is tremendous power in praising the name of the Lord, lifting up and magnifying the name of the Lord, which is why believers have so much joy in praising and worshipping and singing to God. How vital singing is. They were praising God with singing. Praise and worship. It lifts up and magnifies God's name. And as a result, there is tremendous power. And then there was a great earthquake. Quite a few earthquakes happened in the Bible. What tremendous event it is. The whole building shakes. This is the power of God. There was an earthquake when Jesus rose from the dead. There were many other earthquakes. The foundations of the prison shook and all the doors were immediately opened. That's the power of God. That's what God can do. He woke out of his sleep and the prisoners had heard them. They'd heard them singing and praising, but the jailer was just about to kill himself. If you lost your prisoners in those days, you paid for it with your life, as I've said before. The jailer was just about to kill himself. Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Paul is a man who's in touch with God. God is in complete control of this situation. He says, "Do yourself no harm." God doesn't want you to harm yourself. Some people harm themselves today. How sad that is. Do yourself no harm. We are all here. But he asked for lights, and he falls down with trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. A jailer, a hard and toughened jailer, has fallen down on the ground, trembling in front of two of his prisoners. That sounds strange, doesn't it? That shows the power of God to change the whole situation. And he's trembling, he's shaking with fear. He's fallen down in front of these two prisoners who were prisoners of his. And he says, "What must I do that I may be saved?" The gospel's preached tonight, dear friends, so that you might be saved. So that you might be saved from your sins. Saved from the effects of the bad things that we've done. The wrong things that we've done against God. So that we might be saved and be ready to go to heaven. To be received into heaven. What do we have to be saved from? We have to be saved from the judgment that comes on this world and on ourselves because of the sins that we've done. Because of our wicked, sinful history, we have to be saved from God's righteous judgment. We have to be saved from the terrible things that are happening, are going to happen on this earth. But we're saved from the bad things that we've done by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, went to Calvary's cross. We reminded the Sunday school children about it this afternoon. Jesus came in and was born in Bethlehem's manger in order to live that perfect life, but in order to die on Calvary's cross. He died that there in your place and in mine. He died the death that we deserved, so that we might be saved, so that by putting our faith and trust in him, repenting before God, being sorry for our sins, and putting our faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross. When we stand before the judgment of God, there'll be two types of people, saved and lost. There are two types of people today in the world. Those who are saved, who will go to heaven, and those who are lost. How sad that is to be lost. How awful it will be to be lost, to have rejected the Lord Jesus, to have missed the opportunity to be saved. This jailer did not miss the opportunity. He believed, he fully and completely believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved for time and for eternity, and his family. And the same hour he washed his prisoners from their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. A life transformed. That's what God can do. He transforms lives. He transforms guilty, rotten sinners like me. He transforms them into those that can be pleasing to him. He washes us clean from our sins. He washes us clean from all the bad things that we've done and makes us fit to come into heaven. So that when Jesus comes for his own, when Jesus calls for his own, like we were thinking about the other day, we will be ready. We wonder how many people will be ready from those leaflets we gave out yesterday. We wonder how many people will be ready from Basildon, from this area. We think of the urgency of the gospel. As we were saying, every week that goes by, the gospel becomes more urgent. But how wonderful to be in that type of person who recognises their need of a saviour, and trembles at his word and puts their faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we, along with all of the saints, all of the believers that have died in times past, including the Philippian jailer, including so many, all of the other saints from the Bible, will be ready together to be caught up together with him, with them, in to be with the Lord forever. That is the wonderful prospect, dear friends. That is the prospect that lies before everyone who has put their trust and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. May you do so tonight before it is too late, for his name's sake.